The Alabama Crops Report Podcast, your trusted information source for Alabama agriculture.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Alabama Crops Report Podcast. Got Simmer and Scott here and a couple of longtime recurring guests, Adam Rabinowitz and Wendy Mswatigo. Guys, how's it going?
It's going really well, Scott. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yep, good to be on with you today.
Yeah. So I guess maybe even just start right there if you guys want to touch on what is kind of a few brief comments about the outlook for this year.
And we're recording this February the 5th. We'll give that caveat there.
That is a great caveat too, because I mean, I feel like right now things change, you know, not necessarily weekly but or daily even, but sometimes by the hour with some of the policy stuff we can talk about too.
Definitely. I mean, the past 2 weeks, we've seen really big shifts in terms of corn and soybean markets. You know, just starting there, we saw some major revisions from the USDA in the January WASDE report. From last year, we thought we would have, you know, very good yields nationwide. They revised soybeans down about 3 bushels per acre. So that had a sizable impact. Corn was revised down about 1 bushel per acre. And so that really shot those prices for those two crops up quite a bit.
Well, I guess we don't have that many acres to affect it, but Alabama was obviously significantly more than that. If you look at, you know, our average acre, our average yield for soybeans and corn this past year, it was not good.
It wasn't. And, you know, it was mostly the Midwest that was, you know, better than average, but those came down a bit as well. And so, yeah, as we look into next year, at least for those two crops, the price situation is a little bit better than I would have said, you know, a month ago. But again, as Adam mentioned, everything's changing by the day
there. So where are we at today?
You know, corn prices, if we look at our futures for harvest month, we're around 470 mm-hmm. a bushel. So, you know, that'd be quite a bit better than we were at last year. For soybeans, we're, you know, above $10, around $10.70.
What about cotton still in that 66 cent range?
Yeah, still below 70 cents for cotton. And then wheat still, you know, below $7.
I don't know how much wheat we've got this year. trying to remember back what it was like during planting. Was it dry? I don't remember now.
I don't know.
Wet, normal? I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not even sure how much wheat we have.
He's making a note to just cut this part out.
But I guess going back to the prices, you know, and we have had this conversation with a few of our other guests, you know, what are growers going to do this year, especially given the cotton price and how the acreage is going to change and stuff like that? Do you guys also kind of run those type of numbers or scenarios, or you expect things to kind of those prices to kind of dictate what's going to happen in Alabama?
Well, so I think there are a number of things that ultimately affect in terms of planted acres in Alabama, right? And some of it certainly is the market and what those options are on those prices. And in a moment here, I think we could probably talk about a little on how those prices compare to some cost of production, at least, you know, forecast estimates. But the other side of it too comes to, you know, the agronomic side, rotation, right? And so long term, producers need to kind of balance that long term component of, you know, how to maintain yields in a particular field, as opposed to just thinking about what the market shift is going to do for this year. So it's kind of a balance of the two that needs to be looked at.
Actually, I talked to a consultant from North Alabama this morning and asked him what guys were going to do in his area, and he thought cotton would be relatively flat. They would probably shift some beans to corn. He said right now nobody's excited about beans up there. They had a lot of, you know, late planted beans, double crop beans that were in the teens in terms of bushels per acre. So he thought, which I was kind of surprised, you know, the Tennessee Valley, some places got hit on the chin pretty hard in cotton, but they're still going to stick with it for the most part.
So why don't we continue kind of maybe talking about cotton, Wendy? That cotton price that you mentioned right now, where was that at?
That was, below 70 cents. And, you know, with cotton, you know, cotton peanuts really are some of our higher input crops we have out there. Production costs, you know, maybe over $1,000 per acre. So, you know, we haven't talked about production costs yet, but last few years those have come up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So that's another disadvantage for, you know, those high cost crops as well. And, you know, with the prices being as low as they are, you know, I think Scott's right on. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a cut in cotton acres.
Yeah, funny you mentioned that. And I know we had some discussion back in December in one of our team meetings. I was putting a report together for my cotton project from Georgia last year. And what we, in these studies, we did variable rate seeding and all that. And we usually try to take seed price and other inputs and the yield map and put a, and create a profit loss map for the field. Trustingly, my 2023 map looked good.
You had a profit gain map, huh?
And then last year when I punched the data in and I looked up crop budgets and put the seed cost and obviously everything, my map was all red. And yeah. I'm like, okay, this is not a really good result to share, but this is what it is. You know, so that was very interesting to me how just when 1 year the field went from being green, which was either you break even or you had a profit in majority of the field, to where we had a loss across most of the field.
Was part of that, you said that was from Georgia, was that the hurricane you think caused part of that?
No, the yields were okay, like 1,200-ish, 11,000, yeah, near that. It's just year before that, when we did analysis, cotton was 80 cents. Mm. When I put the number, I put it at 70. The input cost, mm-hmm, the seed, was like 276 per thousand. This time it was close to 3. So when you, the price came down and the input cost went up, suddenly it threw everything,
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different factors that go into the exact cost of production for a particular farmer, right? Some of it's going to have to do with their size. Some of it's, you know, about what different crops they're producing. And some of it comes down to their management practices. But, I mean, we can look just, you know, real easily at some national numbers. For cotton, for instance, the USDA is forecasting for 2025 about $900 an acre. And if you consider just what the average yield is nationally for cotton over the last 5 years, we'd be talking about $1.03 as a break-even price. So, wow, you know, thinking about 70, you know, odd cents here for you know, a pound of cotton, it needs to move up pretty significantly, or there needs to be some efficiency that producers are looking at.
And the hard thing is, you know, I feel like with cotton, we've already pretty well cut everything we can, right? I mean, you can cut your seed back, but not too much. You can cut fertilizer back, but not too much, because the best way to overcome low prices is high yield. So you've got to make sure in the field you've got the highest yields possible that you can have, potential that you can have. But I don't know where to cut back anymore.
So I will kind of push back a little bit on just chasing yield, right? I mean, I think you want to make sure that, you know, you're profit maximizing in, yeah, what those inputs are, right? Not necessarily just yield maximizing. So it's not necessarily about making the, you know, at some point there's going to be those additional inputs are not going to give you enough yield to cover that cost.
Yeah, well, and that's what I'm saying. I'm cut back as far as we possibly can, but don't limit your yield potential too much, yeah, just to, right, save money. You know, cotton is, that's a very, right, expensive crop to raise, and you've got to give it what it needs to do that.
And we had some of our crop consultants with us last week on the podcast, and Blake and I kind of mentioned the same, hey, what are you guys thinking about this year? Well, how are you kind of working with the growers? And they said, well, we're cutting two things, seeding rates and cotton, and then nitrogen or the fertilizer as needed. And it's like, that's where we're going to save, mm-hmm, money or even break even if we do anything. Seeding rate stuff, I'm more comfortable with in a way. They were saying most of our growers are on that 29, 30 or even lower, and they were thinking about going more towards 24, 25, which we have done a lot of trials in cotton. As long as this, where my kind of area comes in, when we start cutting seeding rates, we start emphasizing the importance of planter setup and technology, because you want to place that seed pretty well within that, you know, spaced. So those are some things that actually has to happen.
I've seen 19,000
yield
over 1,200 pounds. Yeah. But, I mean, every time you put your foot down, there was a stalk on your heel and a stalk on your toe.
It
no matter where you were. And if you're going to cut it back that much, you can't have any 3-foot gaps. It's got to be perfect.
Yeah. No, that's so it's interesting. You said, so is that break even number like a dollar something?
$1.03.
Is that averaged?
That's
a national average. So that does, you know, cross over certainly the huge production in Texas and Georgia as well. I mean, across the cotton areas.
Yeah. So we got a couple of economists and the guy who claims to love math. Let's just say we're shooting for 900 in Alabama this year. What would that put us at with 70-cent cotton?
That's so now our going back to, we may want to do this math on our irrigated production car, dry land, because again, most of our
we're mostly dry land.
So yeah. If you yield 900 and we're at 70 cent, you're making about $630
per acre.
And then the production cost is what?
Yeah, nationally 900.
Is that dry land irrigated?
So that's a combination of dry land irrigated.
So we're not break even there, I know. Yeah. Because I remember, like, just fresh in my mind, looking at numbers from Georgia, which ours may not be too off. Irrigated dry land was somewhere around 750, 760. And then irrigated was more like 1,010 or something. So even for dry land, we're losing money at that.
And so, you know, this shortfall, that is something that, you know, the loss that producers experienced in 2024, you know, our policymakers in D.C. recognized that this was an issue and late December authorized some emergency assistance for row crop producers. Excuse me. And so, you know, cotton, for instance, an estimated payment rate of $84.70, you know, is what producers are looking at there. And so, you know, it was a $10 billion allocation at Washington, D.C. But if you look at just where Alabama is, you know, cotton payments can, you know, about $33 million will be coming into Alabama from 2024 losses from that economic assistance.
That was, like about 88 bucks an acre, is that right?
Yeah, it was 84.70.
So let me ask this. What if I'm a farmer, what do I need to do to get that money?
So there has not been a lot of information that's come out of this. Congress stipulated that the secretary of the USDA needed to make these payments within 90 days. You know, there's, of course, you know, immediately after that, we go through a presidential transition and, you know, have to get through confirmation of secretary. And there's not been a lot of movement just yet. I'm anticipating, based on the way they have made certain payments for assistance in the past couple of years, that they'll utilize crop records out of FSA to easily make those, you know, payments just automatic. Those that, you know, for some reason didn't have accurate records or file their records, you know, there might be some additional paperwork, but I anticipate the USDA will move that along pretty
smoothly.
For
us, though, it's not every, across the whole state. If I understood it, it was only parts of the state, right? That falls under that. I guess, how are they quantifying who gets it and who don't? It, you know, I thought we had like also some drought related counties last year.
Right, so that's something different.
That's different.
So this economic assistance is not related to any weather disaster.
Any grower this is can claim it.
Any grower that has planted an eligible commodity in 2024. Now, those eligible commodities are typically your title one, you know, row crops. So corn, cotton, oats, peanuts, sorghum, soybeans, wheat. You know, if you planted and harvested crops in 2024, you will get that anywhere in the country. And so it's a per acre estimate based on the acreage that you planted. You know, there's a payment rate that's been defined. So for peanuts, for instance, $76.30 per acre.
I guess since we're kind of on some of this resources or topics, I guess, can you guys maybe touch a little bit on what all resources, including crop budget and stuff like that, are available from Auburn or AgCon here, and how do growers or someone wanting to know some of these prices or wanting to utilize some of these resources can access those?
Yeah, so we've been undergoing a little bit of change on our crop budgets recently, and so we should have those posted this month, some new crop budgets for 2025 that include some expanded information in terms of different, more specific inputs to that production. So producers can access those on the aces.edu website, searching for enterprise budgets, and they'll be able to make those adjustments that they need based on what they're actually doing for their particular operation on the field. Because that's really the key. I mean, any estimates that come out of any extension service or anywhere else, they are really just projections, and they are based on some assumed practices. And so we recognize that there's a variation in that. There's a variation in some of the costs that producers are paying, and what plans that are they're putting in place in terms of management. And so, how much application, what their seeding rate is, things like that. So we want to make sure that they're able to adjust all of these factors in those budgets to make it more representative of what their operation is.
And you said they'll be posted here next
they
month?
They should by the end of February.
End of February,
is what
they
we're
should
looking
be
at.
There. Okay.
Yes.
We also have some information on the marketing side. So production is important, but getting that maximum price mm-hmm. possible is a good opportunity as well. And so I have an online course on grain marketing available on the ACES website, and some information about projections for this year's markets as well.
Yeah, that's
great. I'm mostly just a cotton guy, and I know a lot of cotton farmers kind of buy into groups, right, that market the cotton for them. Is it similar for corn and soybeans of you kind of buy into a group, or do a lot of people do it themselves?
So corn and soybeans, it's a lot on their own. You can book early through elevators. So, my general suggestion is to break down how much you expect to sell, how much is covered by crop insurance, and to break it up over different points, both pre-harvest, pre-planting, and during the growing season, and maybe sell some after harvest as well. But, booking either through an elevator or using futures and options, stuff like that, to really lock in those prices. Especially now, corn prices, they're closer to break even than they were a couple months ago, and we can't say for sure that's going to be the case, 2 months from now. So it might be a good time to start booking in some of those prices if we can book in profitable prices.
Yeah, that's pretty important. When you've got some prices that look good, at a certain point, you got to pull the trigger. You can't just wait forever, and then you wake up one day, your day too late. That happens. I've talked to people that have done that. It happens.
Yeah. So how, I guess that goes back to the timing of this thing too, right? So that's where I guess I'm curious, as from my kind of understanding, when do growers utilize these resources we have available to make decisions? Is it, like I heard some people saying, well, we're already ordering seed back in November, December for next year, or we're already ordering input, right? So when does these start coming into play?
It should be as early as possible. To make marketing decisions, having good knowledge of production costs. Adam talked about break even for cotton being $1.03. So, knowing where that break even, might affect what you decide to plant, but also what price targets you go after when you're marketing and what your goals might be.
Right, and you definitely have some producers that will look to purchase some of the pre-purchase inputs, especially in December. Some of that is for tax advantages, being depending on if there is a bit of a profit 1 year to be able to write that off. But this is a critical time during the winter to start planning. And to that point, we didn't really talk about fertilizer yet, and that is one that has the potential, in particular potassium, to start going up pretty significantly. So 90% of our potassium in the U.S. is imported, and about 80% of that imports comes from Canada. Mm. Now, over the last week, we have seen President Trump introduce a 25% tariff on Canada and then roll it back and push that out 30 days.
Yeah.
But you throw 25% tariff on that potassium coming into the U.S. and you know, that no guarantee 100% of that's going to be passed through to the farmer. Some of that might get absorbed by the dealers and suppliers. Some of that might get absorbed on the other side in Canada from lowering their price to try to continue to move that product into the U.S. But we do know that, you know, there's a good part of that that's likely to end up coming down to the farmer.
Wow. Does that provide an opportunity for our growers for this season? And I don't know if this works on the fertilizer, to go ahead and buy what they need for this year.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yeah. I don't know how that works.
Right now, until they have those 30 days before it shoots up 25%.
It certainly can if the cash is available. And I know that there's a lot of farmers who were a bit cash strapped from last year, because, you know, they were looking at those negative margins and loss from last year. And so, you know, I think these USDA payments could certainly help if they come, you know, pretty quickly here. Mm-hmm. Or looking for credit options as well, you know, potentially a line of credit from your supplier.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we got here about last 8-10 minutes, if we want to touch on a few of the key things that you guys want to share, anything you think that will be really beneficial to our growers, you know, to know or understand. I think the point you made about this fertilizer is probably pretty spot on, because we were just reading about this tariffs and stuff, and I saw farmers going to absorb the cost of this, so that's definitely coming. Unless something changes, right?
Unless something changes, exactly. And I think that is the key when we're talking about some of these policies. You know, farmers are not going to be insulated. And I know, you know, with the tariffs during the first Trump administration, there was the market facilitation program that did provide payments as a result of the retaliatory tariffs from China. You know, there's no guarantee that that is going to happen again. There's certainly been discussions around that. And it's certainly a possibility, but one question is going to be where that money comes from. Does it come from the Commodity Credit Corporation again, or does it come from, you know, some other congressional appropriation? It's interesting, you know, President Trump had used the CCC the first time in his first administration, those funds for that market facilitation program. But it's not a guarantee that that continues, because there was a push to eliminate that type of usage of those funds during the Biden administration, you know, from the Republicans to prevent that use of funds in that way. So, you know, the fact that we're now back on the other side again, does that open the door or continue to close that door? I mean, that's a political question that's out there. And staying aware of policy and what's happening in D.C. is going to be critical. And that's where, you know, at the beginning I was mentioning, you know, things are changing by the hour right now.
And, you know, maybe keeping in mind which crops might be most affected, you know, about 85% of cotton produced is exported. So, you know, 60% for soybeans as well. So those are ones that could be, you know, affected more so by tariffs, if retaliatory tariffs are imposed by other countries that we export to as well. So just something to keep in mind as we look forward.
So does that, for the soybeans or corn or stuff or grains, you know, with the tariffs and all that, does that also decrease the commodity price, or does it only increase kind of on the input side?
Yeah, so that the expectation would be that would essentially take a market we have to export. It would make our prices essentially look less favorable. So, you know, if we take it back to, you know, the late 2010s when we had the tariffs towards China. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, typically, you know, the different growing seasons between the U.S. and Brazil. So we export a bunch of soybeans. Brazil exports a bunch of soybeans. We export, you know, just across the year. Well, what happened was the U.S. exports pretty much dried up. And then those Brazil exports to China really increased, because their soybeans were cheaper to China than U.S. were with those tariffs. And so essentially what happened was even as we move past that, Brazil's really taken a large share of that market. You know, we've seen it with cotton as well. And so, you know, those trade policies could really affect the amount of products that we have to export to those countries, which, you know, essentially lowers demand and reduces the price that farmers receive.
Right. And the first trade war resulted in China immediately going after our agricultural products. Interestingly enough, the tariffs that President Trump put in place on China this week, China's retaliation it has not been towards agricultural products. So, you know, the situation also plays out in terms of what their needs are, their demand in their country, and that's changed a little bit since the first time. So there's a lot of uncertainty exactly how this is going to play out, but certainly it does affect both sides.
All right, so one final question. Tell me something good.
Oh, as far as prices go, most of them come down. Peanut prices remain pretty strong, all things considered. You know, we're, for this current marketing year, projected at, you know, $520 per ton. That'd be down about $15, $18 from last year. But compared to our other crops that have seen pretty sizable decreases, that might be some of the better news on my end.
The peanut market is mostly domestic, I would assume.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although we do export peanut butter to Canada, and that is one area where they have said that they are going to target retaliatory tariffs on.
Stock up on peanut butter.
I'm not buying it in Canada, so I don't know.
Might not affect you.
Well, so if does it also affect, you know, like, we import peanut butter, you said, right?
So we export peanut butter to Canada.
So they're going to impose...
They want to impose a retaliatory tariff on our peanut butter. Ultimately, what that's going to do is make our peanut butter more expensive to their consumers. Oh, they buy less. There's less demand for our peanut butter. Ultimately, that's less need for peanuts from our processors.
Can y'all imagine 30 years from now when some students at Auburn are sitting in an ag econ class and they're learning about the peanut butter trade wars of 2025? that's kind of a funny thing to think about. We're going to make peanut butter more expensive.
With everything going on, you think it will just be a peanut butter trade war, or, you know, there's a lot going on in the world?
I think peanut butter is a small piece of this.
That just specifically is just kind of funny to think about in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least we can end on a chuckle there, guys. We appreciate y'all's time. Why don't you quickly tell where we talked about a lot of information, where people can find it, I assume, on the Extension website. But good tools coming out to help folks soon.
So Extension website under our farm management page has regularly updated crop outlooks, you know, the online course I mentioned earlier. Enterprise budgets are going to be appearing there as well. And so for anything ag economics related, that's your go-to source.
The other resource that I'll give you is Southern Ag Today. And so southernagtoday.org is a regional collaboration throughout the South of the land-grant institutions. And so Wendy and I are authors, regular authors. I'm one of the editors on the marketing day, and, you know, we can now actually say this is an award-winning initiative and collaboration, because we just won our regional association award for an extension program. And so these are really good resources. Every day we've got marketing, livestock, farm management, policy, trade, specialty crops, legal issues, every day just a short article, you know, that's easily digested and targeted towards farmers.
That's like a newsletter, daily news?
It's basically a daily newsletter, you know, that exists. And you can get it in your email box. Again, go to southernagtoday.org, sign up for that. And, you know, that is a group of ag economists who are really putting out in the region a lot of good work.
Outstanding. All right, guys. Well, enjoyed it as always. And to our listeners, appreciate y'all tuning in and listening. If you have any topics or conversations you think we should have, please let us know. And we'll be back with another episode soon.
The Alabama Crops Report is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.